It's because of the new one that I've just done with the Phil Collins Serious Hits, and I needed to build something to display it, so that's the reason.
Is that in the top center there?
Yeah, that's this one here.
Yeah. And does the carousel close? I imagine it does, right?
It does. Yeah. I meant to do a good YouTube video on it to kind of demo that. I've just done some small TikTok and Instagram at the moment. But
okay, do you have a YouTube channel? I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's there. It's a bit minimal at the moment. It's just got a few little bits and bobs. It's nothing long form. It's all musical brick.
Yeah.
Everything out there is musical brick. Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and everything. Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll put a link to it down below. Yeah, no, this is great. That the Serious Hits one, did you go to that show? By any chance?
No, I didn't actually. The earliest one I would have been to, because I was still quite young, would have been 92, which would have been a Genesis gig.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. I think I was 13 when But Seriously came out.
Okay.
So That's quite a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
36 years.
I never realized it at the time because I think the Serious Hits tour was the first concert I'd ever been to, like legitimate concert. I was 9 years old at that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was very impressed with the carousel closing at the end. And opening up too, right? I guess like during Hand in Hand, it was opening up. I was very impressed with it. But as a kid, you don't know any better. But I realize now how like that was such a big deal. Like not very many concerts do that. And did it back then and do it now to have such a mechanical thing in these mechanical curtains. And I mean, I know that like there's a lot of people who use a screen and then they'll appear behind it or whatnot. But with Genesis and Phil, everything after that, I mean, I guess the Both Sides one was pretty complicated too, but you know, everything after that was just a stage, you know, and screens.
Obviously only had the video or the VHS at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was funny to me that it was only at the start of the beginning, this whole, I've like you, I've only in later years come to appreciate this mechanical ingenuity in how it all came about. It's part of the reason why I chose it to do it, because I just thought, hold on a minute, this thing lifted up and it only did it at the beginning and the end, kind of underutilized technological marvel in a way for a stage, as you say. And then I thought, well, this would be so cool to recreate it so you could play with it and have it go lift up and down.
That's incredible. So you are frustrated that they only used it twice and now you can use it all day long if you want.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because it was probably millions of dollars, and today it would have been tens of millions of dollars in today's money. But back then it would have been millions of dollars. And I wonder if Tony Smith was like, we're only going to open this and then close it.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that. On the DVD, there's actually a making of that particular stage and how it was created, the people behind it, the mechanics behind it, some technical drawings. So on a bonus CD, which I didn't know about actually. So that was a minefield of awesome stuff to read and look at, because it really, I mean, some engineer, lead engineer quit because he said this can't be done.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story. I think it's a lead engineer, not the kind of, main dude, but it was the lead engineer who said, okay, this you can't be done. I'm getting out of here.
You know, okay, I have that DVD and I didn't know that was on there. So I'm going to watch that. Thank you for letting me know. That's incredible. I guess that would have been really helpful for you in recreating it. You could have paused it at moments and been more accurate, right?
Yeah, I use that. And then I don't, you know, Tracy Baker?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The get fill in. So she, I kind of told her what I was doing and she was like all really supportive and she said, okay. And she literally sent me technical drawings like 5 minutes later. It was incredible.
Wow.
She had some of the floor plans and the dimensions of the thing.
Incredible.
I thought, okay, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I got in contact with the original designer of that stage.
Wow.
Because I just thought, okay, you can only say no.
Yeah, yeah. And?
Which he did in a way because he's retired and
yeah.
He basically said to me, oh, I don't have anything left of that era, which is understandable. It's
sure.
No, three decades ago. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. You know, as we're talking about this, here in Toronto, there was a tragic accident with a stage at a Radiohead show setting up with that it actually a part of the lighting fell and killed the a drum technician. And then around that time there was also like a country music thing in Indiana, I think, that had some fatalities with the stage. After that, I have a friend of mine who works in the industry and he said there was a lot of like committees and organizations that were put together for stage.
Wow.
After those incidents. I'm wondering, right, this would have been a kind of a precarious mechanism. Like, I don't know how heavy these things were, but if today that
well,
would
only- look looking at this, looking at it and watching it and then looking at all these technical drawings and then trying to make one out of Lego.
Yeah.
That comes to mind. If one of these things fell off, you know, one of the panels, one of the wheels, oh my. And I'm just thinking, this is, how long ago was that Radiohead incident?
I would say 2010, 2011, maybe.
Oh, okay. 10, okay. 10
or, yeah. 10 or so years ago.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty recent really, because I think, I mean, there must be some health and safety regulations when it comes to stage design these days. It must be uh-oh, mental.
Exactly. And even after, especially after that, you know, because I think, you know, it's always been this situation where these guys are late at night after traveling so far are putting together trucks and trucks of this stuff and just the what they're rigging up in the sky is so heavy.
Yeah.
I think in both of these cases it was outdoor shows, and so you know, there maybe just the something wasn't designed right and it was an engineering thing. In the case of in America, there was more situations of weather, which is, you know, you can't really predict. But here in Canada, we have snow loads in the arenas and in the stadiums. So if there was a big snow dumping the night before the show, you can hang less lights and less speakers.
Right.
Because it puts too much weight on the ceiling. So it's really interesting. But anyway, you know, health and safety is something that gets better and better as the decades go on. And I'm thankfully that this didn't fall on any of our beloved band members or Phil.
Well, absolutely. And there wasn't just one. Apparently, if you watch the DVD, they had, I think, two, and they were building one in the future in another location while they were using one in their current location. So they had like two on the go. And it's...
Oh, for travel?
Yeah, as you mentioned, the thing is, most of the venues, this thing levitated from the roof.
Right.
It wasn't held on by, like, what I've done here with it was the Berlin one. It was on scaffold.
Okay.
It was lifted up. But most of them were hovering. And then what I can gather, the whole thing was hovering with this piston lever. How do you say here?
Yeah, sure.
The weight of it is... And that's how I came with those problems with this. I wanted to make it really lightweight. because Lego is just plastic, so the thing could bow very easily. And if you've got to keep this nice, you can want some. So I was sort of going back to my, you know, childhood technical, how do you say, engineering.
Yeah.
When I did engineering at school, working out which shapes are stronger than others.
Oh, right, right. I would have felt that.
It is. It's sort of one of those things. Why are we learning this at school? I'm never going to use this.
Yeah.
And then 40 years later, when you're a man playing with Lego, you go, oh, okay.
My last question on Serious Hits, although we probably will talk about it again, or the Serious Live Tour. Did you know, I mean, if you've done some of this research, maybe Tracy knows, she probably does. Is there one of these panels kicking around anywhere?
Oh, well, I think from what I can work out, I don't think so, because I think it's actually a painted screen that's on top of the metal sort of frame.
Okay.
So a bit like a watercolor framing would be done on a wooden frame on a canvas. I think it's a similar thing.
Okay.
And that's actually a really good question. I should ask Tracy that, if there's one of these massive things rolled up in a warehouse somewhere.
There probably isn't, because it would be at Tracy's place. So it wouldn't, if there was one, she would have it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
it's a shame, right? Because it's just, you never know what's iconic in the moment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So when the tour's over, he's probably thinking about the next Genesis thing. He's thinking about the next Phil thing. And so just trash all of this stuff. You never know that something would be iconic in 40 years.
Absolutely. I think that's something that I've kind of got, I'm quite mindful of now, with when you do stuff now and you think, you know, getting personal now, but in your personal life, especially when you get older, you realize, we better start treasuring this and pressing record or whatever, or, you know, taking the pictures. But for these guys, I think they're probably just so busy and they're just thinking, okay, one gig, next gig. As you say, they were just thinking ahead and not really thinking, oh, this is going to be a most memorable concert, because it's the first time we're going to have like a carousel merry-go-round. And, you know, we'll probably do a, you know, something even better next time, and this will be forgotten. But I think, as you said, they didn't get as complicated. I think with technology, they just there was more screens and lights rather than anything sort of mechanical.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to say which is better, because I will say that in the last Domino tour, just a couple of years ago, I loved the Dominoes up in the lights, but the screens were so vivid, and I hadn't been to a big screen show in years. I didn't realize how sharp things had got, but just the high definition detail on these massive screens, I didn't mind it. I feel like, you know, it would be nice to see it like Broadway, where it's just the people on stage and the mechanics. But on the other hand, if you're far, far away, you can see everything, and that blew me away.
Yeah, I think in another life, I probably would love to have been in stage production. You know how you get older, and you get older, and you think, oh, this career, I could have done this, I could have done that, and then I think you you always think, if in another parallel universe, maybe, because even at school, I was in a lighting crew.
Yeah,
where the school did productions, and we would do the sound mixing and the lighting. So
yes,
in another life,
I completely.
I was actually gonna. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm the same way. I fantasize about behind the stage stuff all the time.
And then, what was I gonna say?
Sorry, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just add on it while you're thinking. I completely agree. I love what's happening behind the stage. And when I'm at a concert and I'm like, oh, I know what they're doing. They're playing this song because the artist is getting changed, or they have to reset for this song. Or like, I know that there's a long transition because they're getting over to this side of the stage. I love all that stuff. I find that really fascinating.
Yeah, I think as I said, if in another world I would have been doing this, I'm sure, because I'm not musical. I love music. I'm a listener, a professional listener. And not like yourself. I check your stuff out. It's like, wow, you're
thank you.
I show my wife, because my wife's also a musician. She sings, and she's, you know, professional, but not so much now, because she's going more into the teaching of singing. So
great.
She said, you are a very what's a very interesting word. Confident, very confident, assured. She said very assured.
Mm. Oh wow!
So like you know what you're doing. You're in that zone. And it's like, even though you're not looking at the camera, you're not showing off. It's just very assured, she said. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Mm. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, when you are untrained, and that's why when you say she's a teacher, I often think I need to get lessons, because it's very much like Phil, when you're nervous about that you're not professionally trained. The only way through is to kind of put your head down and pretend that this is how it's supposed to be, and to, you know, fake confidence in your insecurities. You know what I mean? That's Phil did that all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't heard that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just he wasn't professionally trained. He wasn't even from the same class as the guys in Genesis, and he just used his humor and self-deprecating nature to push through. You know.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe he did do some music lessons. But as you say, you can be naturally an awesome singer, but having sing lessons still doesn't hurt, because you might work out a technique, a breathing technique, how to you know, posture, everything. You know, it doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Oh no, absolutely. Okay, let's get to the Lego. So the musical brick, is there a reference to the musical box?
Of course.
Okay. You know what? Listen, you've got a lot of different artists. I mean, you focus. I think the primary focus is Phil and Genesis. And but I didn't want to assume, because you're also doing other acts. So I didn't want to assume that, you know, like me, everything revolves around Phil and Genesis. So I just didn't want to assume that for you.
Well, it does, actually, in a way.
Good.
It's the core. And then anything I like that, you know, spiders off from my kind of interest, then I will do it. So, but it's all, it's all proggy stuff, rock stuff.
Well, and I guess from a business standpoint, we'll get into this later, but from a business standpoint, when you have customers coming to you to look at the Selling England by the Pound or the Seconds Out set, and Peter Gabriel stuff, you know, if, you know, they might be attracted to the Rush stuff or the Yes stuff, even if it's not, you know, even just for a Christmas present. So it's just good. It's good business to
see. Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah. Normally people are kind of in that whole zone, that whole kind of proggy zone. So they'll like all the stuff I like, you know, not everyone in the world, but, you know, it's a very niche thing. And I like it like that. It's, you know, it's a passion more than it's a business. I call it more of a hobby business. Because I'm actually a full-time teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this is all my kind of like get home and
get to work. Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you some specifics. When did this go from, this is fun? Talk me through the process, because you mentioned that you're 10 years into this, and I didn't realize that. That's incredible. Congratulations. Mm. And I honestly think the way that things are going, I feel like you're just scratching the surface of, you know, just because of Lego. I mean, Lego is so huge. But when did this go from like, hey, look what I can do with these rogue pieces of Lego, to wait a second, I'm making some collections. People might want to buy these. People do want to buy these. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, well, it's actually been very, very organic. So a 10 year growth, but very, very, very kind of not even exponential. It's just sort of very lovely, lovely, lovely straight line going up a little bit. So it started in 2014. Of course, it's 10 years. 2014.
Sure.
I had a little, because I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher in Singapore here, and I created a blog and an Instagram and all YouTube stuff, basically on my English observations living here, because Singapore is a ex-British colony, so it's all English speaking, education, politics, it's all in British English. So not a bit like Canada, really.
And so
I made this blog, and it was all English observations, like how there's lots of English words here that are still kept in Singapore, but they've outdated in Britain. It's quite, they look like fossil words. You know, just little observations like that, how they use English here. And so I was using that to share Lego stuff as well, because I was doing kind of like comic English observations using Lego as a characters, you know, one speaking to another, because I can't draw very well. So I just put Lego, put little speech bubbles, and it was a way of just making the content more interesting. So I obviously love Genesis, and I thought, oh, Lego, I could probably do something like music related. But, you know, little Lego men, they're quite boring. And then you've got to think of how can you make it a bit more interesting?
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel's costumes came to mind. I thought, okay, that.
Yeah.
You just can't go wrong. He's asking for it. He's asking for people to make models of his.
Yeah.
You know, lots of the bands, glam rock, and they're kind of colorful as well. But, you know, sure. He had bat wings and flowers and stuff. So I made a bat wing and flower. I was kind of scouring around Lego shops, looking for little bits here and there, and went to art shops and just, you know, spent weeks just pottering around making something. And then I put it on my Instagram page and just left it there. And then I also put it, I think at that point I did put it on like a little PayPal cart thing on my, because I was selling posters. I was selling posters as well of English stuff on that site.
Okay.
A couple of people bought it, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then,
sorry, can I pause for a second? Did you have the ability to make, how did you have the ability to make duplicates of these if you had were scouring shops to find flowers and stuff?
I don't know what it's like in Canada, but in Singapore there are not official Lego shops, but they still sell official Lego. But they got in there the little drawers, you can pick out individual bits.
Okay.
So you can get a head here, a body here, and hair. So, but they don't have much of it. So you go, you buy a few heads. You've got about five heads, and that's it. You've depleted their collection. And at the beginning, it was literally, I was just, you know, it was one or two.
Sure. In a month. Okay. So they're selling.
It was really low key. It was like getting stressed. If somebody else buys, how am I going to get this?
Yeah.
There's only a couple of shops in Singapore.
Yeah.
So, and then interestingly, Real World emailed me and they said, we would like the bat and the flower for Peter's collection. And I bounced from my chair, go, what the?
That's incredible.
I've only done this, like, it's only been up for about a month.
Yeah. Wow. But
since then I had, I speak to their social media guy, and he told me the story. He said, I just saw it pop up and I showed Peter, and he said, oh, I like that. So it's very matter of fact. It's like very,
yeah,
I think their social media team do scour and look for the hashtags, and if anyone's hashtagging, and they,
oh, okay,
yeah, that's quite interesting. They're
cool.
Peter's not looking at Instagram, but he's got a team, sort of.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that part of the story. That's such a.
I've never shared that before. So exclusive.
Okay. That's awesome.
So at that, and then I was blown away. I thought, okay, I've done two characters. I'm going to do all of them.
Yeah, of course.
I'll just do all of them. I'll just work out how I can do, you know, the fox head and the, you know, what else we've got? The Britannia, the rail, lawnmower. Yeah, all of them. I just thought, okay, do it. Make them all.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I did. So jump a little bit, because it was very, oh no, actually there's another little story here. My wife said you can't put these on your English based website because it's a bit weird. People are gonna say, oh, this dude does English stuff. Why are you selling weird Peter Gabriel figures?
Yeah.
He said, oh, you should set up another website. So yeah, I just set up another website. And it was first called Lego Sis.
Oh.
But here's another exclusive. Lego sent their lawyers on me and said, take this domain down now. Yeah. It's got Lego in the domain name. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So I went, oh, okay. Ignorant.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, Lego Sis. And I thought, okay. So then that was like, oh no, I've just made a WordPress site and I've lost the domain.
Right.
I will have to rebrand it. And then I think I just had this sudden, it was Musical Box. It was the cover band, because I had seen them in 2002 in the UK before I left, literally before I left HIT to come over here in 2003. So I don't know. They I thought Musical Box, they were a cover band.
Yeah.
I can't exactly remember my thinking, but the Musical Box, brick, yeah, Lego bricks. Because I think the Lego solicitor letter using Lego just shook me. I thought, okay, I'm never going to say Lego anywhere.
Right.
And actually,
right.
Interesting enough, you can't say you're affiliated. You can do this stuff, but you must make, you'll see on my website at the bottom, you know, we are not affiliated with Lego. Lego is a copyright. So everything I do, I just say it's made from Lego bricks, but I'm not saying it's official Lego. And so everything I say now on my site is brick. So everything's got kind of a brick this, brick that.
Well, people know. Yeah. And I mean, that's the nice thing, is that it's not like you'd have to tell people, you can know. And now, excuse me, I'm curious. That's interesting, because I was worried a little bit about the legality of it. And I was curious as if you were just flying under the radar, or I guess they allow, you know, you're buying these products and you're using them as they were intended to be used, which is to create an original, you know, nowadays it's all about the boxes and recreating the classic Harry Potter stuff and Star Wars stuff. But originally it's about your own creation.
Absolutely.
Doing that, and then you're selling them. So you're really in the clear, right?
Yeah. Well, you just don't say you're affiliated with them, and then it's probably a tiny bit of a gray area, but you just cover your back. Just say, I mean, I told Real World, do the same.
Yeah.
Do the same on your website. Just say these not affiliated with Lego.
Well, now you're in a dangerous territory. You must be a brave guy, because you're with Lego Sis, you're ripping off two brands in one. You must have great lawyers. But it's good for you.
I mean, they were quick. That literally lasted a week. That literally lasted a week. So really quick.
Yeah.
And it's a good, but actually I think that branding was really good, because on your visitor count on the back end, it did shoot up a bit, and I thought, whoa, this is good. It's based on that URL alone, I think.
Right.
So that's how, I think that's why they got, they go, whoa, what's this peak? They must have seen a spike go up.
Yeah. Oh, those.
Dude.
Yeah. There's certain companies that just have full-time people, right? Looking after that. Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, then I think shortly after that, I would have, so I was plodding along. I was just making more figures and And then I had a collection of 12. And then I must have written to Real World. It must have been Annie, his old assistant. And okay. I wrote her a letter saying, I'll be coming to visit UK. And I'd like to drop off a framed version of all the figures and pass it to Peter. And then that was 2016. So I went over to Bath, and unfortunately he was rehearsing for that time was Sting, him and Sting doing the Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was out rehearsing probably in London somewhere. So didn't meet him, but then I was still able to pass the frame to his assistant.
Yeah.
And then have a look. You know, she gave me a little tour of the studios, which is pretty cool. And it's quite iconic. It's a very beautiful area as well of UK.
Yeah.
And and then I think 2017, they got back to me and said, oh, we'd love to put these on our site to sell them.
Wow.
So I was like, again, that was another woof. What the?
Yeah.
That's a...
But hold on a second. So they wanted to sell them. I mean, that could be a full-time gig making those for those.
I think when it went live, it was 2017. That period was, I was very busy.
Yeah.
Very busy. And yeah. I was contemplating giving up my full-time job.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like one of those forks in the road, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting.
It's a very exciting thing. Maybe if I just quit the job and went into full-time and bought, you know, more supplies and equipment, I could have done. Yeah. I was starting a family at that time. So
That's good to do this possible thing. So when did you start to say, okay, let's do Phil stuff. Let's do the CR78. That's my favorite thing, by the way, the CR78. That's just the coolest thing. I love that machine. But when did you start to say, okay, let's do some of the other things in the peripheral world?
I wonder if it was COVID, actually.
Oh, okay.
I have to check, but I think 2019 there was an upspurt of doing instruments and stay away, sort of do less of the little cutesy minifigures and do something. I thought it would be a bit more professional looking, a bit more, you know, put this on your shelf and people wouldn't mind having this on the shelf and instead of just a little cartoony man and you go, oh, that's that. You got children, have you? You know, you'd have a nice little CR78 or a Yamaha DX7. I thought, oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
but they're not flying off the shelves. So,
all right. No, I. You know what?
I found them really fascinating to build. The scale, getting the scale right, and finding the measurements, and I've got the big CR78 and then I've got a smaller one, but most of the instruments are within a certain scale.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't see the big one on your site. Maybe.
I think that's under custom models.
Yeah. Oh man. So cool. It is so cool. I'm just like drowning in all the keyboards too. The CP70. Oh my goodness. So let's get technical for a second as we're talking about this. So you've got these shops around town. You got to get really, really creative. I mean, there's got to be interesting times where you're using a hubcap from a F1 car for cymbals are you constantly scouring new sets that come out and say, hey, this thing from Barbie or Harry Potter would be great for this? Are you, the shops in Singapore sound interesting, but I think you can order individual pieces off of Lego's website too. So tell me about that.
Yeah, that process. It's all on. All online now. You can go to Lego shop. There's other kind of repositories where you can go and pick a brick.
Yeah.
Or two, or three, or five, or 500, and actually, that's about it, really. I see a new set. They're Lego. They do make new elements, but they're probably, there's a base set of elements that you can work with.
Yeah,
and it might be the Lego Friends, the new girl version Lego, it'd been fantastic for 70s long hair for dudes.
I have a bunch
but
of
that's
them.
How that,
send them to yeah. you. My daughter doesn't play with them anymore. I should send you all her Lego. That's amazing.
So, but you're exactly right. Yeah, you find other sets that have a kind of a hubcap or There's something I did. The new one here. Well, you use the wagon wheel that came with that's in a few sets. It's normally like a horse and cart thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a way for you to say, okay, I need, if it's a piano key for one of the instruments, how do you begin that search? It's almost be nice if there was an AI tool that said, mm-hmm. I need a Lego piece that comes the closest to a drum cymbal or a drumstick or a piano key. How do you begin that search?
Yeah, I think I've got a whole box that I bought for my boy and I've bought for myself, different Star Wars Ninjago sets. I bought a NASA thing for my boy. Now he doesn't like Lego now. And he's only 8.
Yeah, no, my kids are the same.
Yeah, so I've just got a box full and I've just got all these elements and I'm literally just going through the box, sort of working out, oh, this looks like I could use it for a stand or something. And then, yeah, I've got stuff in my head, I suppose. It's all in the head. And then you can go trawling through the boxes. And then on Lego site, you can look at some of the elements that are there that may not have. And you think, oh, okay, that would. But yeah, it is actually. I think that's a very good question because I think a lot of what I do is probably just in my head. So like with probably a lot of other sort of professional technical jobs, it's in your head, isn't it?
Yeah,
an experience. Yeah.
My daughter has this one set that is like a recording studio. It was probably Lego Friends. It was like a girl's recording studio and has like a microphone stand and speakers and a DJ booth and everything. Do you find that when you find like a literal, a verbatim copy of what you're looking for, like a microphone or a microphone stand, do you find that to be cheating? Do you enjoy it when you put it together out of the wrong pieces as opposed to saying, oh, great, thanks, Lego, you have microphone stands now?
I do that. I look at what other, I don't scour the internet and see what other builders have done and how they've created it. So it could be Lego, it could be other builders, and I'll just sort of nick their idea and tune it a bit, make it a little bit better maybe, or yeah, just a bit more sort of related to what I'm, the right model I'm doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever paint things to get that color that you want?
I really keep the editing, I suppose, is a way of crafting or editing pieces to a minimum. I want to keep the quality control of the original item so I can, so for example, this the wagon wheel. I'll go back to the wagon wheels.
Yeah.
I got the old drill out and there's tiny little holes in there on the rim. Okay. Just one little hole on the rim, because in the original, if you see the technical drawings of it, the rope would pull the wagon wheel to yeah. lift the whole panel.
Okay.
It's a very mechanical thing. So you, the cable pulls the wheel round and then it lifts it up.
Yeah.
I mean, Lego don't do anything like a wagon pulley thing. So I had to do, improvise and drill a hole and, but still use a Lego cable. So it's all,
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
But painting, do I do any painting on this stuff?
I guess the color would be the one thing that's hardest in some cases.
Yeah, the color. Yeah, colors, you just have to, you got to find the nearest. They got quite a few colors now, especially with all the pinks and the purples and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And grays, right? Like lots of shades of gray.
Oh, but actually, you see all the trays there, they're all. The black and gray.
Oh yeah,
mostly. Yeah. I love black. It's like the Lego. Did you ever watch the Lego movie, The Batman, the first one?
Yeah,
Batman says, "I only work in black." It's like that's my motto as well.
we have this. I love Lego, and I think our kids got a little bit maybe sick of it during COVID because we bought so much and did so much during COVID. It's also, we have a situation where we have so many sets, we have bins and bins of it, and it needs to be organized. So to rebuild the set, and we have, the Millennium Falcon, we have the Razor Crest, and they're half demolished. And so what we need to do, because, we have a yard sale coming up, and I was thinking we could sell some of these sets, because during COVID, I bought a Millennium Falcon that was in a grocery bag. And I paid it like $200 for it, because it was all there.
Yeah.
And I could, it would give us something to do, to build. And it's a beautiful thing. Yet I'm still paying pretty much the same price the kid paid for it originally. I want to like put these back together and collect them and then sell them as a set. It's just so arduous to go through the bins and check off every single piece of inventory. So we have these bins that are just sitting there, nothing's happening with them, but we gotta get them out somehow.
Well, I think it depends on how you want to do it. I mean, if you want to sort of sell them and get a bit of money back, then that would be one way. Or you can, I think there's places where you can give them away to sort of needy children or something. I don't know.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't mind all of them in bits.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's so funny. My son now, he does occasionally play with Lego, but nobody anymore will build the sets. It's about just taking the pieces, building your own thing. And it's so funny because it's like, oh, remember when that was what Lego was that you just took these random things?
Yeah,
own spaceship?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happened to that. It's interesting because when I was a kid, it was, buy the spaceship, build it, go, oh, this is cool, and then take it apart and build your own car or something. It's funny because I teach in a private school, and the kids there, they oh, teacher, you like Lego? Like, yeah. Okay. and I say, oh yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? You can make your own thing. No, what do you mean?
I know.
They literally build it and then just put it on a shelf and display it.
Yeah, I think that's
majority. I think that's the majority, right? Yeah, I've spent, in Singapore you got to double the numbers you're giving me. So, Millennium Falcon's $500-$600, and why am I gonna break this up and make a car out of it?
Yeah.
Are you mad? Your parents will probably go, what are you doing? Why are you breaking it?
Well,
that's what Lego's about.
In their defense, though, a lot of people have the shelves you have behind you, but with the Star Wars products and the Harry Potter stuff. So I get it. I do. It's really interesting. I think what I like about what you're doing, and this is why I feel like your success is going to continue to rise, is the popularity of Lego right now. I mean, I feel like it's never been hotter. It just continues to grow. COVID obviously was a massive spike. It's maybe leveled off a little bit. But I always get the catalog and I see what's new. And I absolutely love this. It's one thing to build your own creations, but I love to follow the instructions and to build a piece. Mm. And I often will buy myself something over the Christmas holidays, put a record on and build something that takes me 2 days because it's such a satisfying process.
It is.
So you have the popularity of Lego. Then, of course, you have the popularity of Genesis. And then you also have this third thing, which is the popularity of nostalgia. And you've got this interesting Venn diagram because the nostalgia is nostalgia for the Sirius stage, which I saw in person as a child, but then Lego, which I played with as a child. And so that crossover is just incredibly intimate and powerful for people. I just think that's what you're doing, why people are paying attention is because you're striking a bunch of different nerves at once. Do you think
yeah,
so?
Yeah, and it all comes from sort of selfishness, really, because it's what I like.
Yeah,
it's sort of, it's like an interesting, you know, I think in this day and age, I think it's nice to be able to, you know, nice to be able to do stuff that you enjoy and you can sort of make a little bit of pocket money from it just to sort of sustain and sort of ever create more and more. But you're right, then I hadn't really... The nostalgia thing, and I suppose you could add on to that as well. Not add because you basically said it, but a lot of people do enjoy the nostalgia of being used to be able to play with Lego, and they like to build with Lego. You basically said that. Sorry.
No, I know. I'm just thinking of this as we're talking because. Mm. It's all things that we love. And yeah, it's fantastic. Have you ever thought about, because we were talking, you know, you seem to resonate when I said the meticulous building process, even following the Lego's instructions is very fun and oddly satisfying. Have you ever thought about selling one of your sets with instructions to build?
The stages do actually.
Okay.
The bigger stages come with instructions, which are not as professional looking as the real deal, but they're followable and they're actually generated by a Lego software product.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. So I build everything virtually and in real life. So then I can create the 3D models and on my website and then also create instructions. So they're boxed and they're kind of semi-built. So, cause I want to be sure that they've got every piece in there. So I build it, take it apart a little bit, and then they've got instructions.
Okay.
People have instructions. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So they can have, and I've had pictures of people send pictures of them, like the husband, the wife's taking pictures of the husband there, sort of putting it together.
Yeah, I feel like my kids would kill me if I sat around the table and I said, hey, we're building a Lego set, and they joined me for 2 hours, and then at the end it was something Phil Collins related, they would kill me. They would be so disappointed. What is this, Dad?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they're into, but could Taylor Swift be...
Yes. Yes.
With that tick a box, yeah.
Yes. Now, that's an interesting thing. And that's, I want to ask you about where are you going from here? And you know, you're selling these Sirius Hits, Sirius Live, I keep saying Sirius Hits, Sirius Live stage. As much as that, that's the greatest concert I've ever seen in my life. It's certainly not the most popular concert ever. Mm-hmm. And if you were to do an Eras Tour stage recreation from Taylor Swift, you would be a billionaire. Now, I feel like her lawyers would murder you in your sleep. But have you thought about, you know, branching out more? And what does the future look like for you? How could this, you know, turn into a big thing? Do you even want that?
I do, and I've got a new kind of I'm trying to brand something at the moment because okay. I've just bought a domain name, but it just links to my website anyway, so it's not an isolated thing. So it's called minigigs.com.
Okay.
So it's got a hyphen in there because somebody else has got mini gigs, but mini-gigs.com. And I love, again, it's just a play on words because it's the mini figs is the kind of the Lego thing, mini yes. figs.
Right, yeah.
Mine is mini gigs. So oh. I'm kind of sort of selling it as, I'm kind of thinking, what do I want to do? Do I want to do nostalgia? Do I want to go back in time? Because the old 70s and the 60s, 70s, 80s, just I love it. And it's got a kind of look.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could build, you know, I've got Pink Floyd, I've got Kraftwerk and I'm Meridian. Yep. And yep. I want to do a Dream Theater as well. That's coming up. I don't know if you like Dream Theater, but...
No, I'm not too familiar.
But from your neck of the woods, I think. Are they? No, they're not. No, they're American. They're American. It's Rush, isn't it? Rush. Is it going to be venture into the modern age?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even Taylor Swift, apparently, I went to the venue outside okay. with my wife to listen outside of the venue. You know?
That's so cool. Good
that
for
was,
you.
There was like hundreds and hundreds of people outside the venue, the category 100 seats, you know, the cheap non-paid seats. So, but apparently, you know, people saying, oh no, but she's got different, the set changes, the dynamics, and there's different platforms, and then she's got different costumes. So it's got all the usual lights and everything and the screens, but the stage changes, pyramids and whatnot. Yeah. So it would be, the lawyers would sort of say, excuse me, it's Taylor Bricks, isn't it? Taylor Bricks.
Oh, right. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Taylor Bricks.
Well,
nothing related to Taylor Swift.
No, of course. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. No, they probably have even just the letter T is trademarked. I would be scared of them. I mean, that's interesting, too, because the Genesis stuff, I feel like Tony Smith is just a little too... He's just probably doesn't care to come after you.
I did write him a nice letter though.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. So I think no reply, but I think he's a busy man and he's a very busy man actually. The amount of groups that he manages is amazing. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I actually just heard from him recently and I asked him for an interview and he just kindly said no. That way. No, he said it much nicer than that. He said it much nicer. He said he doesn't do interviews, but it was actually just an absolute honor to see an email come in from him.
Wow,
it was really nice.
What you're doing, what you're doing is super awesome, Mateo.
Oh, thank you.
And again, it's a niche thing. It's what you love doing, so you must have a lot of passion. With it, but then I did catch one of your earlier episodes where you're talking about you want to make time for your music.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I can see how you're kind of fighting, because doing this social media podcasting interviews, it takes up. So, I mean, I'm trying to get into it, but I realize with a full time job, you've got limited hours.
I know, and it's
mental.
Absolutely. And it's just weekly. That's the thing. That's the part that it never ends. So you've finished everything and you're like, great, that was awesome. Oh, Sunday's coming. You got another one to come. So, and I've kind of committed to not ever stopping. And so, it is tricky. And it's funny that you bring that up because here I am asking if you're going to do Taylor Swift stuff and other things, but I love the Phil Collins Genesis stuff so much. And I could maybe reach more, you know, I maybe almost hit a ceiling in the fans of this, but I have no desire to cover other music. I could, on the channel, I could start to, you know, cover other bands in the prog thing. But I don't want to do that because that then all of a sudden I'm just a music magazine, a music channel. And I want to forever stay. I even feel uncomfortable going into the Peter Gabriel or I feel like it's Phil and then it's Genesis and then it's Peter and Steve and Mike and Tony. And then that's about it. There's maybe a little bit on the perimeter of associated acts, but I want to stay. So it's funny, I ask you about going into the other things, but there's also something about staying true to the prog era and the 70s stuff and the 80s stuff that keeps your diehard audience appreciative.
Well, I'll go back to the selfishness because I was playing serious hits on YouTube because I've left all my DVDs and CDs are in UK. So I haven't got hold of, so I was listening, watching it. I don't know, not hundreds, but tens of times to pause it and look at the, you know, a monitor there or drum set up there. And I loved it. Don't mind it. I can watch that 100 times. Love it. So it's kind of, that's where the selfishness comes in. If I do another artist, I want to like it because I'm going to listen to their stuff and be really impassioned to go into the structure of whatever the figure is or what instrument they are. And, you know, I'm similar to you. I mean, the instruments I built, they're all in the Peter Gabriel Genesis circle.
Right.
Yeah. I did the Yamaha. I did, you know,
yeah.
the...
Yeah.
The DX7, the Prophet, ARP Quadra. I went, what does Tony play? Okay, make those.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny because it's because he never used a Mini Moog or Mini Moog, sorry.
Yeah.
No, Moog or Moog. Oh,
it's Moog.
Damn.
It's okay.
And
both are correct. Technically, according to Bob, both are actually correct.
Okay.
You can actually...
So Tony never used one. So then I built one, and I made a silly, funny cartoon, you know, with Wakeman and Tony, and you know, I don't play that.
That's funny. that reminded me. Now, isn't there a way? I mean, the Juno stuff, the CP70, the 808. I mean, there's people who have never even heard of Genesis who would be interested in those things. I mean, right now, a Rhodes, a CP, a DX7, Juno, those things are thousands of dollars on the used market. And there are diehard music collectors who would be interested in that. I feel like hopefully they can find your site, even if they're not fans of prog.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all about exposure in a way, I think. I'm always perplexed about how the, you know, SEO, and I sort of, it's the same with you, the SEO works, how your stuff is proliferated into the web and how search engines find you. And, but a lot of it is just word of mouth.
Yeah.
I've had some interesting customers of, well, some interesting other bands have kind of picked up on what I do, or actually, to be honest with you, it's their wives. This is very funny. It's the wives of these musicians, and they, you know, we went to this gig and we saw this and blah blah blah, and I want to get my husband a Christmas present. Like, oh, okay,
that's smart.
Yeah, it's quite unique as a
yeah.
But that's it. The wives that don't know. The hubby's got everything. I'm being a bit sexist here. You know, it could be the wives want it. The women like it too. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I just want to encourage you to, because we go back to SEO. I mean, the best SEO, the best algorithm out there, in my opinion, is YouTube. And I feel like you know, even as something as simple as a time lapse of you building one of these things, to completion, you know, like whether it's 3 minutes or it's 30 minutes, it would be so fascinating. And YouTube has an incredible way of showing a Yes fan, a Genesis build, vice versa. You know, it once once I watch it and once the people in our Facebook groups that you're a part of watch these things, YouTube will start feeding them the rest. And then, of course, the link to buy them is in the description. Yeah. I feel like YouTube is one of the most
SEO tools. I agree. I think YouTube is, I mean, I'm always on it.
Yeah,
me too. I'm literally always on it. And, you know, it's a fantastic way of like, anything you're interested in. Well, it's the whole, the rabbit, you know, the rabbit hole of, oh, I clicked on that video one day and then I'm ending up in a,
well,
oh my.
You know, we talk about, you've been talking about this selfish nature of your business, and I, it's like, it's scratching your own itch, right? And that's, I feel the same way with my channel. And it's because, back when we were kids, you would turn on the TV, and if, unless you had a satellite, which only rich people did, you had 10 channels, maybe 5 channels, anywhere to 5 to 20 if they had cable. And on Saturday morning, after the cartoons were done, there was nothing to watch. It was either sports or fishing. And maybe one time you would catch a documentary or a live concert on one of those channels. The chances of it being your favorite artist, Phil Collins or Genesis, was slim to none. Maybe once every couple of years, you would see something that you would want to see. And so for me and my channel, it's like, what would happen? And this is what's great about YouTube. What would happen if there was a Phil Collins channel and every Sunday morning there was a half hour program about Phil Collins or Genesis? I mean, that would have blown our mind as kids, you know?
Yeah.
And YouTube allows us to do that and to say, there's a every week there's a YouTube channel about Genesis Lego. It just absolutely blows your mind. But yet, surprisingly, there's a few thousand people, tens of thousand people who would be interested in tuning in every week. So that's what's beautiful, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic. And as you say, it doesn't have to be so long, you know. But I just find I'm sort of slowly getting into this whole just get stuff out there, you know. Just not. Yeah. I'm quite I'm a perfectionist to a point. I'm not going to be overdoing it, over egging it, but
yeah.
You know, I want to get the light right and the frame.
Yeah.
And make sure I say right thing.
That's okay. I want you to do it. I'll be the first subscriber. Well, I'm going to subscribe. Cool. But cool. That's awesome. Listen, I want to let you go, but I do want to ask you some questions. I want to ask you for our patrons. So I want to ask you about your favorite Phil songs and your favorite Phil album, your favorite Phil tour, and the same for Genesis. But before we do that, I want to thank you for doing this and for taking the time to chat. I love what you do. I want you to keep doing it. And
thank you.
I'll post some, for anyone watching, I'll post all of the links down below for people who can check this out and buy some of the stuff. So thanks again.
No problem. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And, you know, it was really good chatting to you. Fantastic. Like-minded. I think we're on the same wavelength. You've given me some ideas. I hope maybe you've got something from me. I don't know.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Yeah. A like-minded is an understatement. Anybody you could talk about Lego and the stage construction of a 40-year-old carousel set, and you could talk for hours about it, then that's much more than like-minded.